you heard who I am. I'm Ruth Franks, and it is an honor to be here today to look out over this audience and see so many people that in the last year that I've been here have now become my friends, my buds that lift me up in prayer, put up with me in other areas, and it's just such an honor and a pleasure. But the scripture references that we have for today are found in Romans. Okay, let me get these off my head. Romans 8, 22 and 31. And it says, "For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." Wow. How many of you have had pains of childbirth? I bet there's a few because those nurseries are staying full. "And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory." I'm going to pick this up. "For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he's promised us." Well, we see Brian's getting a new body, so we're all going to get one too, but we got to wait a little bit more. "We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it again, do we? We already got it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must patiently and confidently." Am I pushing buttons? Okay. "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know," one of my favorite verses, "and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as this? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And he's for every one of you. I've probably said this to you before, he's got my picture in his wallet and on his refrigerator, but he's got yours too, because you're his favorite, and he's for you. And the Holy Spirit's praying on your behalf towards God. So in biblical examples, now, because this is our family values, week number three, we are talking about families and whether you are a young family, an empty nesting family, haven't started your family yet. You came from a family. Whether it worked or not, you came from one. So we all know what family means. And if we needed further proof of reality that every family will face challenges, the Bible gives us example after example, evidence after evidence, what we might deem dysfunctional. I kind of wonder, did anybody in the Bible have a functional, what we call functional family? Nobody's named the Waltons in the Bible, I don't think. Cain, the first family, killed his brother. Jacob showed favoritism. Noah had a drinking problem. Saul was jealous of his son's BFF. His son's BFF was David. No family is getting it right 100% of the time. Even Mary and Joseph lost Jesus at one time, when you remember. I mean, they left him behind. Any of you ever kind of lose your kids or in a store or... Mine used to get in the clothing racks and hide. Imagine little Billy doing something like that. Okay, I want to show you our family picture. This was taken just this last Christmas in Branson. And that's quite a mob. they're not all there, but that's quite a mob. If you there's a few faces you'll see. The bald guy's the tall one in the back. But in this family, there's been 7 miscarriages. There's been 3 divorces. There's been 4 parent deaths, not including Don and my parents. There's been widowhood. There's been lots of grief. There's been lots of reasons that we could have easily given up hope. But in that same picture, we have, well, let me just say this too. And it's easy to look on social media and think that everybody else has their life together. Oh, look at their, I saw the kids at the play place yesterday. I thought, oh, I saw Mila going in. I wish I would have went in with her. They look like they had fun. But everybody else looks like they've got it together. Even their meals look better than the pictures at the restaurants. So, but Scripture reminds us, when things get messy, we are to trust in God. Don't take your eyes off of him. I love that last song, Run to the Father. I can't tell you how many times this week I had to run to the Father. So it's over. And when you've got a family, and you know what? It doesn't matter if you're grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, big sisters, little sisters, big brothers, little brothers, neighbors. It doesn't matter. We've got some in here that are great, wonderful neighbors to other people's children. So I also want you to see in that picture, though, there's 6 adoptions. 2 of them are in Bible school currently. 1 is halfway through Bible school. 1 is working towards her citizenship while working towards nursing at the same time. 3 are teachers. 1 works with assisting blind adults. She's got her master's in that. She had to actually walk around Lubbock blindfolded as part of her training. 1 is a firefighter EMT. 5 are licensed ministers. 2 are miracles born on the same day, 10 years apart. They were prayed for. Mamas had had miscarriages, and they were born on the same birthday, 10 years apart. And in that picture, 1 is on the way. And I thought maybe by today I'd be able to say there's 1 or another one here, but it's not here yet. We don't know what it is. Number 2 picture is, this is my group in Michigan that weren't able to be at Branson. That's my daughter in the middle. She's a nanny. And the last 3 families she's nannied have been Jewish families. And she's in there singing, Jesus Loves Me. And she has our sense of humor. And she can even joke about, well, you know, if Jesus did that, it would be different. So she gets into the door and gets to pray over those kids. The one, that's her oldest son, Cole, and his fiance, I guess you could say. And Cole is a foreman on a construction team. And Elizabeth on the left is she works at the hospital, but she's studying some kind of medical something or other. But in the front, happy birthday, Deacon. That's the grandson who passed away. He was 22 years old and his truck rolled over. And he's in that box right there. So every year on his birthday, we celebrate Deacon's birthday. So yes, we've had grief. We've had lots of joy. We've had lots of laughter and lots of tears. But we don't have it all together yet. We just have to keep on keeping on. I do want to say, too, that I'll probably tear up at this because this is recent. What's your son's name? Craig. Talking about the prodigal. Last night, Don and I were finally sitting after a day of busyness. And we have another adopted son that wasn't in that picture. And he chose some routes in his life that ended him in places that were behind bars. Metal bars, not drinking bars. But in moving, I found a bunch of his stuff. And I actually took it back with me when Mandy and I drove back last couple weeks. And we left it with Don's son, with Ben, the firefighter up there. And this is what we got back from him. They met up and delivered it. "Hey, Madre," he always called me Madre, "I hope you and Padre are somewhere warm and safe. I know how busy you guys are up there. I just wanted to thank you and Dad for holding on to my forgotten memories. Rummaging through all this made me cry and happy and thankful. The way God moved in my favor and just being in the care of you two means everything to me. I was stubborn and I thought I was grown and I thought I knew it all. But if I haven't said it enough or yet, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the worry and the heartache that I caused. You guys truly believed in me, and I will continue to work on my faith and believe. I know I love you guys. I will always have love for you. Stay healthy." The prodigal returned. And that's what I used to tell him all the time when we'd go to court and stuff. I'd say, "Prodigal, you're coming home. You're coming home. I know you're coming home." So to get that last night was like, oh my, that was perfect. Perfect, perfect timing. And Craig, he knew exactly what to say about it this morning. Isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? That's how the Holy Spirit moves. We don't have to figure it all out. It's his job. It's just our job to stay tuned into the right station. How many of you travel and can't get a good radio station on the road? Because you're in and out of the waves. Well, we got to stay in and out of God's waves. Okay. This is a big concept that most families need to hold tightly to. It's easy to become overwhelmed by everything that's going on in your family's life. I can't tell you how many of young mamas have asked me to pray for them because they're overwhelmed. Do they love their babies? Of course they love their babies. They're more fearful they're not doing it right than they are that they don't love them enough. So we don't need them to become. We don't need to become. None of us need to become overwhelmed when we've got Jesus, when we've got God and we've got the Holy Spirit. We may look on back on other seasons, some of us who are older, with fondness and remember how many I even saw this week. Oh, I wish my kids were this size again, or they were that. But you know, when they were that size, you couldn't wait till they got older because you wanted to sleep all night. You wanted them to be able to dress themselves, to go potty by themselves, to bathe themselves. But then when they're past that and they're teenagers, it's like, oh, I just want them little again. I want to know where they're at. I want to know what they're doing. Enjoy where you're at on the way to where you're going. Empty nesters know that even though our children are no longer live at home, that doesn't keep us from wanting them to know where they're at and what they're doing. Moms and dads are always going to be moms and dads. We always need to run to the Father and pray over them. Singles and couples without kids, they're trying to balance the high demands of life and moving ahead in their careers, but they still need to make time for their extended family, even though they're single. Mom and dads, other brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, they still are concerned about you. Kids and teens do the hard works of growing up. Oh, they have life so rough, don't they? Oh, I got to go to school. Oh, I got to make my bed again today. Oh, you want me to change my what again? I just changed them 2 days ago. They think they've got it so rough. But the question in all these situations should be, do I really trust God with little Johnny, with little Craig, with little Bobby, happened to be the one I was talking about? In a church culture that has tightly clutched the cliche, faith over fear, for so many politically motivated reasons, we need to apply the concept with a little bit more personally. Many of us are fearful. We shouldn't be operating in fear for our families. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And we shouldn't pick it up. We shouldn't accept it. We need to take control over that. He gave you and the Holy Spirit I'm going to have lipstick all over this, Brian, for next service. A cause of those fears reveals a lack of trust in God. You don't think he's going to take care of the situation. Probably not the way you want it to always be. But he loves your children more than you could ever, ever, ever. And some of you, I know, you love your kids a lot. But he wants better for them than you could even imagine. And he, again, is going to work all things together for their good. You may not see it today. You may not see why, you know, with our son, he didn't understand why he had to keep going back behind those bars. Well, why do you keep doing the same things you're doing? I said, God loves you too much. You're going to get caught every time. I used to tell my daughter that. She would get in trouble at school. I said, God loves you too much. He doesn't want you to develop a pattern now that's going to carry on through life. So you're going to get caught every single time. And they did. This isn't what I expected. How many of us mamas in tears or daddies, this isn't what I expected. Just because it doesn't look like what you expected doesn't mean we should be without hope. God trusted that child or those children to you. Everything to me happens for a divine purpose. It's no accident any of you are here. Some were driving down the road and it looked interesting. Let's stop and see what it is. Some talked to somebody in a grocery store. So those were divine appointments. That was meant to be. Well, it's up to us. At least he gives us the choice. It's up to us whether we look to that as being a divine appointment. But hope. Many of you might be right here. River of Hope. So blessed to be a part of that. Jeannie has talked about that with us. I feel like when I go there, we're planting little hope seeds. You know, spring's coming. I noticed little green in some of the fields on the way to church today. I thought, how could stuff grow in this cold weather? But we're planting hope seeds. And God has already given us the hope. So we have to nourish it and watch it grow and hold on to that. Hope is mentioned 129 times in the King James Version. Do you think God meant it? Do you think he meant hope is something important to us? There's another scripture that says hope deferred makes the heart sick. I think that's in Proverbs, probably. It sounds like a Proverbs, doesn't it? It's an emotion. It's a way of thinking. Hope puts our eyes on the prize, on the outcome of this trial. It's what keeps us going. In Hebrews 6:18 in the Amplified, 18 through 20a, it says, this was so that by two unchangeable things, his promises and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to ever to prove false or deceive us, we who have fled to him for refuge might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Pastor Billy always has something behind here, so I thought, oh, I got to have something behind here to bring out. And, of course, mine isn't quite as easy as his to carry around. And if I put it up here, it'll probably be in the way, but I'll set it here. Oh, look, see? It doesn't stand up. Okay, there you go. Okay. Now, several years back, I was blessed to be part of a Connect group in Oklahoma with a wonderful, wonderful lady who was also one of our children's church pastors. But she was a beautiful artist. I bought the frame, I just never got it put in. And our Connect group, every time, we did a different painting. And this was one of the first ones we did. I actually painted this. I take no credit for it, though. But it goes along with that scripture, Jesus, our hope and anchor for our souls. This sat in my bedroom on a little credenza throughout the whole time I was going through that whole brain situation. And I could lay there and I would look at it. And I think, my hope is anchored in Jesus. And I love this picture for that reason, because you're not going to move an anchor. It's stuck there. And it was a reminder to me every time I was confused, because at that time I didn't yet know what was going on. But every time I could look at that and say, my hope is anchored. And I wasn't going to lose hope. I hope that Don got that too, because he was the one who had to deal with me. But that's my place that I have to sometimes refocus. Now it's in my, I don't know what you call it, office, but I walk by it 100 times a day. It is hope that leads to that perseverance. Understanding perseverance, just as Brian had said earlier, a person with perseverance is someone who keeps trying to achieve something, even if it's difficult, if it takes a long time. You might describe them as a bit determined, a bit steadfast, and a bit tenacious. There are lots of other adjectives that could describe them, but I think you know what that is. Reflecting on Paul's message of hope and redemption through Christ in Romans 8, it says, but if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, again, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit does. And the Father who knows all, the Father who knows all your hearts, he knows what's in your heart. He gives us the desires of our heart if we're truly connected to him. The Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. I have a lady friend back at Durant, and I met her years and years and years ago. She moved from New Mexico, moved to Oklahoma, and for some reason or other, divine appointment, found her way to our church. Her husband would never come with her. He was fine. He's fine. I don't need that stuff. Well, I had the pleasure of meeting Hollis, and took them to the airport one time so that they could fly home to New Mexico. Just 3 weeks ago, and she would always say, "Pray for Hollis. His health had been failing. He's a rancher. His health had somewhat been failing. She says, pray for him, but most of all, pray that he come to know Jesus." About 3 weeks ago, I got a text. Hollis accepted the Lord and got baptized. 30 years of praying for him. She never gave up hope. And that's how it should be with us. And our loved ones, and our grandkids, and our neighbors, co-workers. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, especially you, Brian. How many of you have co-workers that they just, get under your skin, and they always seem to show up at just the wrong time? They don't show up on time, but at the wrong time and place. Are you praying for them? Are you lifting them before the throne? We often wear rose-colored glasses when looking at our past, and when looking ahead, we tend to fall into cynicism. Yeah, well, you know, it was good back then, but I can't see. Sharing with a brother this morning, this politics, what's this world going to come to? It's going to come to Jesus, because all knees will bow. But until we get there, we can't give up hope. We just need to keep praying. We forget that God in his sovereignty has placed us here, as he did Esther, for such a time as this. He knew when you were going to be born. He planned it. He knew who your parents were going to be. He planned that for such a time as this. This culture, this world, its beauty and its troubles are no surprise to God. You messing up as a parent, yelling at your child, punishing them in a way that you probably were a little bit more rough. And God knew all that, but he's got the answers. Rather than pulling back and attempt to protect or preserve, How might we engage the world with our families to share this enduring hope found in Jesus? My best friend's child, she taught at public school and then she taught at the private school. And her baby had been at the private school all through eighth grade. She already had graduated too from there. And when he was ready to go into high school, she felt the Holy Spirit say, Micah needs to go to public school. She was not quite ready for that. It's like, number one, it's her baby. She's protected him. She's been there at school with him. Well, she ended up going and getting a job there. But Micah was the one who led the school. It's a small country school, but the National Days of Prayer, all those things, he rose. He's now pastor of one of the satellite churches and a family counselor and. He's a wonderful young man, and he took a lot of his friends with him because he was strong enough to be the light. But she had to trust that God had already planted in Micah everything he needed to stand strong there. She was way over on the elementary campus. She never got to really be where he was and protect him, but she did see that God knew what he was doing. It was time for Micah to come out of the greenhouse, so to speak, and he was strong enough to stand on his own. Do we teach our children to be afraid of the future? Why are we instilling fear in our kids? There's enough out there who's going to try that. But that's where we need to protect them. Or do we teach them to face every day with the hope and the strength of the Lord? There's no room for fear in their lives. I know some of you, but some of you may not have been here when I spoke one other time. My little grandson came to spend the night with me one time. It was going to be the first time he got to come. And I picked him up at his house, and on the way home, he's saying, Grandma, sometimes when I go to bed at night, I have bad dreams. I said, you do? And I said, well, we'll take care of that. Well, how? I said, we just pray and ask Jesus to give you good dreams. So that night, we went to bed, we prayed, ask for good dreams. The next day, we go to school. He's sitting on the floor of my office working, and some of my teachers come in, and they're, well, hi, Bill David. How are you? Blah, blah, blah. And he says, did you know if you have bad dreams, you just pray and ask Jesus to give you good dreams, and he will. What a little testimony. We shared that with him. By the way, he's the one about to be the new daddy. We shared that story with him. He goes, I kind of remember that, but not that quite, that. I said, oh, you were a blessing. She went back and told all the teachers. You ought to talk to Ruth's grandson. But it's that easy. That's the innocence we're to have. Why are we making life so hard for them? It doesn't have to be. Watch what they're watching. Don't put fear in them because their minds can't understand it the way you do. Billy cried when I told him Mickey Mouse wasn't real. He wrote him a letter, sent it to Disney World. His dad said, oh, let it, we'll mail it. But he got back an 8x10 glossy signed by Mickey and Minnie. Did not help mom's course at all. But, don't tell Luna that mermaids and unicorns aren't real. She'll argue with you, and she can make quite an argument. How do we install hope in our kids and perseverance? How can we do that? Well, how about a family goal poster with your family values? What's important to your family? How about the fruits of the Spirit? Those are some things that are important. How about not arguing with your siblings? Well, all that would be in the fruits of the Spirit, wouldn't it? We used to, in one of the companies I worked for, make our goal posters. And we had family time, business time, church time, all that. But I found these little business card size things that said, put God in the center and everything else will come together. And that was always, I passed them out to all the girls. It was always in the middle of our goal poster. And it does work. The hub of the wheel keeps everything growing well. But in the Moors, Micah's older brother, Hollis, they even had a little thing. When the kids were they had three little kids, they'd say things like, "What's your name?" And she would say her name. "What's your last name?" "Moores." "How are the Moores? How do they behave?" "We behave with kindness. We behave with joy. We behave with peace." They knew the fruits of the Spirit, but it helped them remind that, okay, are you being that way to brother? Are you being that way to sister? Offer ways to remind your family of God's faithfulness in times of struggle. Bible stories, our innovation app, Right Now Media, Bible app. There's so many different kinds of devotions on there. They've got them for kids. I've gone through them with Grayson on teenage. Make that their Bible stories, their bedtime stories. God's family is far greater. God's plan for your family is far greater than what you see right now. No matter where you are in your journey, whether your family feels strong or your family is barely holding on by a thread, God has more in store than you could ever imagine. I never imagined what would come out of my family. All I wanted was three kids, a boy, a girl, and a boy. That's what I got. Were there times I wondered? Oh, yes, there were times I wondered, are we ever going to make it? But God said, yes, I gave you those children, but they're mine. They're mine. Be good stewards. Bottom line, a Christ-centered family finds hope in God's long-term plan. Don't just look to today. I'd like to pray over you. Some of us might be feeling a little bit, I wish I would have done that with my family. I wish I would have done that. Oh, grandkids are coming. You can do it with the grandkids. I want to pray a prayer of rededication over you, that you rededicate, no matter if you're a parent, grandparents, teachers, aunts, uncles, adults, married, not married, just an acquaintance at church, because you're all sitting in a room with people who need some encouragement, some hope. Anyone who is alive and breathing in this room, like Esther, you're here for such a time as this. No accident. So if you'll please allow me to pray over you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to teach us how to keep on keeping on, to not give up hope, but to grasp you. As the song says, we run to the Father. We don't walk, we run. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jeremiah, your word says to us, Father, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are for plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. I praise you, we praise you, God, for giving us the opportunity to help nurture your future kingdom, your children, your grandchildren, one another. We're all your kids, so we're not through, and as long as we have breath. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.